The Parable of the Sower, Chapter 31. You have lamps in your living room, don't you? On these lamps are shades. Why are those shades on the lamps? Suppose there were no shades on these lamps. What would be the result? There would be uniform light in every part of the room, in the corners, on the ceiling. Throughout the entire room, the light would shine equally as bright. A shade is put on the lamp so that the corners of the room will be darker, but the table will be lighter. Whoever sits directly under the lamp at the table receives the most light. This is due to the lampshade. You can easily understand this, can't you? This is merely an example. I wrote this expressly to make something plainer for you. Now give me your attention. The Lord Jesus already had preached a great deal. At all times the people were anxious to hear him. For what reason? He spoke so plainly. Everyone could understand him. He brought the gospel to the poor. By this, I do not mean those persons who are naturally poor, those without money, but I mean those persons who are grieved because of their sins. Everyone who had upright sorrow because of his sins was invited by Jesus to come to him. Hear what he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Many came to him seeking his aid for the cure of their bodily ailments. The sick, the crippled, the blind, the lame, and the leprous were all cured. And this showed that the Lord Jesus was almighty, that he was the Son of God. He cured them of their bodily sicknesses, so and they would believe he was also capable of curing them of their soul's sicknesses, as well as he could save and deliver them from the consequence of sin, so he could also deliver them from sin itself. And what response did the Lord Jesus receive in return for all his labors? In the former chapter, we told you the Pharisees had the courage to ridicule the work of God. They dared to call it the work of the devil. From that time on, the Lord Jesus began to preach in a different manner. He would preach by means of parables. Parables were mostly common stories out of our daily life. But these stories had a deeper meaning. In these parables, the Lord Jesus had something to say. Not everyone could understand immediately what Jesus meant with these parables. Those who desired to know the meaning could go to Jesus and ask him. As the shade on the lamp took away the light from the corners of the room, so also Jesus covered the meaning of his words by a parable. Why did he do this? Let us read what is written in God's word. With the hearing, they may hear and not understand. This means they will hear the words, but they will not understand their meaning. Then the mockers could no longer mock so horribly with his preaching. Those who would not mock with Jesus' words, those who were anxious to know what Jesus meant by the parable, could come and ask him. For these people, the meaning would be much plainer because spoken in parable form. Yes, thereby the lessons of the Savior would be remembered much easier. These parables serve the same purpose as the lampshade. It became darker for the mockers and unbelievers. That is to say, it wasn't so easy for them to understand his words. And for those who believed in him, the subject matter became clearer and plainer. The Lord Jesus spoke many parables. We will tell you several of them. May the Lord command a blessing upon it. Thousands of people gathered together on the shore of the Sea of Gennesaret. For what reason? What is to be seen there? The Lord Jesus left Capernaum and went to the Sea of Gennesaret. The multitude followed him. They want to stay with him. They want to hear him preach. Throughout the entire city, it is known that one possessed with the devil, who was both blind and dumb, was cured that morning. The Pharisees are fond of slandering him, therefore they too come to listen. The many Jews push to the front, anxious to understand Jesus' words. In order to speak more easily, Jesus sits on the deck of a ship which is lying near the shore. The large audience remains on the shore. The hum of the voices gradually became silent, and it was very quiet. Let us also listen. Clearly and distinctly, the voice of the Lord Jesus sounds, "A sower went forth to sow." He is telling a parable. A sower. This is a very common scene in our daily life. Most of you have seen a sower sow seed. Today, many farmers plant with machines, but in former days they didn't have machines. All planting was done by hand. Thus, this sower went out to sow his seed. First, the plow had broken up the hard, trampled-on ground to make the field ready for the seed. Then the sower begins. Continually, the sower takes a handful of seed and scatters it with a wave of the hand. As he walks, he sows. Naturally, he also scatters the seed on the edge of the field. Some grains fall on the path which runs along the field. That seed lays on top of the hard road surface. A few birds fly down and diligently pick up those kernels of grain. That seed is lost and can never bring forth fruit. Finally, the sower is finished and he leaves. Shall all the seed grow and bring forth fruit? Alas, no. Why not? A portion of the seed fell on stony places, which were hidden from the sower's view, because the stones were covered by a thin layer of black, fertile dirt. But what happens? After a few days, the seeds which fell on this thin layer of dirt sprout up. Small roots shoot downward. However, they soon hit the hard stone layer and therefore cannot penetrate the dirt any further. Then it becomes warm. The burning hot sun shines upon these stony places. Soon all the moisture is evaporated. The roots cannot suck up any water and the young tender plants wither. This seed is also lost and will bring forth no fruit. Thorns and thistles grew at one time in another corner of the field. Of course, these were cut down and burned. Nothing can be seen of them anymore. It seems as though this part of the field is good. But do you know what the sower did not see? He didn't see that the roots of these thorns and thistles were still in the ground. Those roots are not dead. They are still alive. However, the sower did not know this. Therefore, he also sowed seed on this spot. After a few days, this seed also shoots up. The small, fine roots of the germinated grain bore downward and are not held back by the stones. But the roots of the thorns and thistles also begin to grow from the rain and the heat of the sun. This grain now stands amongst the thorns. However, the thorns grow much faster than the grain. In a short time, the thorns and thistles have overgrown the grain. The grain which is underneath is choked. No, it isn't choked all at once, but gradually, for it begins to turn yellow and finally it dies. Why? Well, these small plants do not get any light. The warming sunbeams are completely captured by the powerful thorn bushes. The plants of grain begin to wither and die. So this seed, which fell between the thorns, is lost, because the farmer shall not reap any fruits therefrom. But is everything lost? The seed which fell upon the path was picked up. The seed which fell on the stony places germinated, but withered. The grain which fell among the thorns is choked. Is everything lost? No, happily not. Seed also fell on good ground. That seed germinated, grew, and brought forth fruit. The rain made it wet. The sun warmed it. It sprouted and grew. At last, ears came thereon. Grain grew in these ears. In the one ear, there were 30 grains. In another, 60 grains. Yes, and there were some which had 100 grains growing in them. No, not all the seed was lost. So you see, children, the Lord Jesus told this parable to the multitude. As you have noticed, it is a very common event, especially in the land of Canaan. This could be seen daily during the season of summer and harvest. What does this parable mean? Why does the Lord Jesus tell it? Lord, the disciples ask, why dost thou speak to the people in parables? And they are afraid the audience would not understand him. The answer of the Lord Jesus is, everyone need not understand it. The mockers would laugh and speak despitefully about it, but that is no longer permitted. Then the Lord Jesus explains the meaning of this parable to the disciples. You also would like to know the meaning of it, wouldn't you? Listen attentively. In our thoughts, we will enter a room where many children are seated. The teacher is going to tell a Bible story. According to this parable, the children are compared to the field. The Word of God is the seed, and the teacher who is explaining the story is the sower. The teacher begins with the story. All the children are sitting quietly and listening attentively. At least, the teacher thinks so, and it appears so, but they really are not, because there we see a boy who is looking at the teacher, but who is not listening. In his thoughts, he is busy with his marbles or with his kite, which he is making, and is just about ready to paste together. Yes, he is sitting quietly, but he doesn't hear what the teacher is saying. Over there we see a girl. She is thinking about the nice dress which she received for her big doll on her birthday. Neither the boy nor this girl hear the story which is being told. They both sit motionless, while their eyes stare absently in front of them. They do not even know when the teacher is finished. They know nothing, for they are not able to tell us anything of the lesson, not even the main subject of the teacher's story. That seed fell on the wayside or road, and the birds of the air picked it up.
Birds of the air?
Yes, certainly. That means to say, all kinds of things kept this boy and girl so busy, every word of the teacher passed by them. They heard a voice, nothing more. Their thoughts were busy with other things. Now I ask you, will this story bear fruit for them? Surely it cannot. This Bible story is lost for them. We also see other children sitting in the room. They listen very attentively while the teacher is telling them about Elijah, who was taken up into heaven with a chariot of fire. They are jealous and they think, ah, I also would like to have that happen to me. Or, if the story is about Saul, how he in his despair put an end to his life, they are frightened and restless. And when the teacher tells them of the possibility of being saved, they are impressed by it. Tears come into their eyes. Oh, they resolve within themselves to earnestly pray that same night for a new heart. Yes, from now on they will pray to be converted and continue to do so until the Lord hears them. Those are their plans, and at this moment they are sincere about them, certainly. But the lesson is finished. Next, the arithmetic books are put on the desk. They eagerly begin to do their examples. The examples are so difficult, they are anxious to finish them. The deep impression slowly fades away. Besides, the devil does not like to have these impressions last and will try to take away these impressions. In the class, one of the boys is extra impudent or something else takes place. When they go to the playground, they talk about this. At night, when they go to bed, they do not even think about the serious story of this morning. They quickly rattle their prayers and climb into bed. What has become of their nice plans? Nothing. Exactly nothing. They are forgotten. This is the seed which fell upon the stony places. It came up. For a moment it looked so good, but it withered. Nothing came of it. So also for these children the Bible history has no value. Still, there are other children in this class. They are the third group. They also listen. They too are impressed. They feel that if they are not converted, they shall be forever lost. The impressions do not leave these children so quickly. No, at night they pray earnestly. They lay awake for a long time and cannot get to sleep. They are thinking about the story of the morning. Yes, even the next day, they have not forgotten it. But slowly it passes away. They are occupied with pleasant things, or probably sad happenings fill their thoughts. Mother is sick, or father must go to the hospital. The first days the impressions come back occasionally, but they become continually weaker and weaker. After a short time, this third group of children forget everything. The good seed of God's word is slowly driven away by the thorns, by the many cares of the world, and it is choked. It does not bear fruit. Lost. Is everything lost?
Oh, the teacher doesn't know. God only knows.
This instructor planted the seed and now must wait to see if that seed shall bear fruit.
He can plant, but he cannot make the seed grow.
It is God's work to make the seed grow.
And if God makes it grow, then, and only then, shall it bring forth fruit.
Do you see, boys and girls, this is what is meant when the Lord Jesus spoke this parable of the sower.
Do you know who also are sowers?
The ministers are sowers when they are preaching God's word in the church on Sundays.
The instructors of the catechism and the Sunday schools are sowers.
Yes, wherever there is preaching or reading of God's word, there the seed is sown.
Much seed is lost.
But that is not due to the seed.
It is because of the hardness of the ground.
It is because of the hardness of our heart.
Most people do not bring forth good fruit,
but evil fruit.
Oh, today so few people are converted to God.
Most people are never concerned about this, for they are too busy with other things.
They have no time to ponder about eternal things.
Why, no, not yet, they say.
We shall do that later, when we become old.
They put it off, and they keep putting it off for years.
And then, suddenly, unexpectedly, death comes and takes them away without pity.
And then it is forever, forever too late,
unalterably too late.
That surely will be dreadful.